HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch Podcast, the weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hey guys, how's it going?
You know, being somebody who listens to all kinds of music all day long and someone who's dabbled in it for a while, I've always wondered what it's like to be born into a family of musicians. Well, I got all my answers, besides a lot more, during a chat with violinist L. Subramaniam and his wife, singer Kavita Krishnamurthy, and their kids, Bindu, Narayana, and Ambi Subramaniam. They not only gave me a peek into their lives as a family and what it was like when Kavita married into it, but also spoke about how they're keeping abreast with today's time and tweaking tradition one musical note at a time. Listen on for my chat with L. Subramaniam and Kavita Krishnamurthy. Hi, Ellis and Kavita. Welcome to the HD Brunch podcast and congratulations on your HD Brunch cover.
How important was it to you that music be a part of your kids' lives when they were growing up? And how did you go about it?
What has happened is I've been, in a way, brought to a discipline where my father, Professor Lakshmi Narayana, who's responsible for making this violin a big, important Indian instrument, internationally known, globally, not as an accompanying instrument, as a main instrument. So he worked a lot and made a very, very hard targets and dreams. So we had to work regularly hard, not like 1 week you work and then next week. It was like a goal set up and then you try to achieve the goal and work towards it. So because of that training, I also automatically got into that same mode of training and thoughts. So I wanted my children, I had goal for my children. I wanted them all to be educated. I also wanted them to be definitely a part of music because my father believed life without music is incomplete. And I also believe that because any art form, you can be a great engineer, doctor, everything, but art brings another dimension to your life, any art form. Because we work with one side of the brain for all the sciences, maths, everything. But there's another side of the brain which is sitting idle, which is nothing which focus on creativity and spontaneity. What you learn from music, basically there are only 7 notes. But these 7 notes has been tried and practiced and sugar-coated by millions of people and millions of listeners have heard not only our own classical, but also Western, pop, rock, jazz, fusion, everything. So, but the notes, number of notes is not suddenly cannot change the 7 with a variation to 12. So that happens only by creativity, spontaneous improvisation, which on this part you try to, because you go to a concert, you cannot decide this is the phrase, next 45 minutes I'm going to play, you can memorize and come. Because our music is mostly improvised. So what you do, you seeing the reaction, seeing the feeling, seeing the emotion, there is an inner voice. If you are spiritual enough, sometime you also get some guidance through inner voice. So you start playing and get involved in your music and spontaneously with the thing, variation. However, you combine the 7 notes in different sequences. Certain time ragas have only 4 or 5 notes. 6 different dynamics, different sequences, different technique. So keep the audiences there attending. So this is nothing but spontaneous creativity, which is on the other side of the brain. So he always believed whatever field you are in, whether you are a doctor or engineer or lawyer, if you have spontaneous creativity and also to be able to focus, in order to create spontaneously for a long time, do an ala, you have to be terribly focused. Otherwise, if you think all your home problem and start mechanically playing, the next minute the audience will know you lose your audience. So his emphasis was this: whatever you do in life, get training in music. And because that is the art form he knew, that's the art form he taught, that's all I know. So we passed on that to the children. So whatever they did, my eldest son is a oncologist surgeon, brilliant surgeon. So he also sings with Kavita a lot. And Bindu writes, she studied to be a lawyer. Then also she did music. Finally, both my Bindu and Ambi was taught violin so that he continues violin, so that he continues my father's footstep. So he was taught and is still working on it, Indian classical music and composition, different things he does. So everybody is some way connected to music, which my father started.
I remember when I spoke to Bindu, she mentioned that Bindu used to love Mariah Carey when she was a child. And you were like, yes, listen to it. You know, you were like, yeah, go Mariah Carey. So what was, you know, the dynamics like when you met them musically? How did you, kind of bond over music with Bindu, with Ambi, with Narayan as well?
Well, actually, when I got married to him in 99, I think it was music that brought us together also, yeah. Because he called me for a recording. And, you know, without music, I wonder if I would have had the same bonding with him, because I was a confirmed bachelor. I had been in music and there were a lot of other people in the industry, but I never felt any inclination to marry. But, you know, when I met him, and then it was not only the singing, it was a combination of being a very educated person, having a very logical mind, and also this great a temperament and passion for music, and his all these things brought us closer. And I think it was music that brought us together. And even with my children, I'd like to say that, you know, without music, you know, I came into their lives when Ambi was 7 years old. He was the youngest and he was 7 years old. For me to have bonded with the children for overnight, for them to have called me mother, and then to have gone with them for all the concerts together, if I had not performed, it would have been a very empty space within me, you know, because all of them are so musically inclined. If I had just been not so much into music, I don't know how I would have, you know, stayed together with this family. So I think music has been a very, very big gift. So I wanted them to be in music, but at the same time, we said, you must be educated. With Bindu, you know, initially I thought maybe, you know, she has a nice voice. I thought maybe Bollywood, you know, I would try to teach her Bollywood songs. But I saw that her inclination was more towards Western music. She writes songs beautifully. And her inclination was totally towards. So both of us, you know, kind of stopped troubling her or being heavy on her and saying, oh, you must do Indian classical music very strongly. She had the background of Indian classical music. But at the same time, she wanted to do her Western music and she wanted to find her own 2 feet. So I thought all of us should be in music, but we should be able to do what we want in music. And the only thing I told my children at any point of time, and I tell any youngster who wants to be in music, I'll say, go ahead, be in music. You'll find a lot of happiness. The only thing that you may not have is too much money, you know, as an artist. Because artists, you're never sure about the money part. But if you're willing to lead life with a little less money, life is fine as a musician, because you get a lot of highs. You meet a lot of great artists. You hear great music, you feel a sense of passion, and that's how to live life with a passion. I don't think you should walk through life without a passion, because then life is very empty.
How did you influence each other musically? Because you both came from similar but different musical backgrounds as well. So what was that like? But Shuruaat, sir and ma'am, from when you guys met, please.
You can start, I'll follow.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, you know, I was a little nervous because I was told Dr. Elsubramanian is recording a song and some secret production person said, please come to the studio, you have to sing for him. I was very worried because I'm also a little scared of violinists, you know, because they play from the lower note to the higher note and they expect the voice to have that kind of a range. I said, oh Lord, what range is he going to make me sing in? Anyway, I went to the studio and I saw this very quiet person and very dignified person, and the way, you know, like he... you know, kind of told me what the song was and I sang it. And, you know, I felt a kind of bonding from the beginning. And then, but what led to further was when he called me to sing for a fusion album called Global Fusion. And I told him I've never sung any fusion stuff. I don't know what it means. So I came to Bangalore. I flew down to Bangalore because he wanted to record here. And that's the time I actually met the children. And I met the children and I recorded, and you won't believe this. After I went back to Bombay, you know, this family stayed in my brain like a bhoot. I was like not able to get out of it. And the children's faces, somehow it was like something was pulling me towards them. And something was pulling me towards this family. And that's how the whole story started. And then later on, when he proposed, I just felt that I was the right person to be there. It, my heart was telling me that, that this is the future for you. This is the family. This is the husband you've been waiting for all your life. And I married him. And after marriage, it was fairly smooth for me because the children also responded to me very well. And to tell you the truth, I could have had a lot of tensions because he was married before. He had a very happy marriage to a very beautiful and a very talented lady who also sang beautifully and beautiful children. And so I could have had a complex. I could have been, I was just second wife. I was a stepmother. But, you know, nothing like that happened. I felt that this was my place. They all gave me love instantly. And music was the thing that brought us together. We traveled all over the world. And the best thing that happened to him was that he started writing for a voice. He started writing with Hindi lyrics and for the voice and for the symphony orchestra, because I told him, for the symphony orchestra, give me words. I'm good with words. That's my job. So he started writing for me. And I also enjoyed because I started exploring with orchestras, with jazz artists. So my dimension from Bollywood went further.
Do you remember the day when Kavita walked into the studio and that first interaction? And of course, like when your kids first met her, was that unnerving? Were you nervous? Or when you proposed, were you a little nervous?
I haven't asked him this question. Let me find out the answer myself.
Perfect.
Now, initially, I have to tell you a few things. One, I was working on a project and I wanted a voice, and especially from, you know, from film industry, either, you know, Bollywood or even South also, there are a lot of great singers, everything. So for a project I was involved in, so I asked one of my friends to send me cassettes of different singers. So out of that, I liked one particular tape, which was happened to be Kavita's tape, where I felt she had an extra dimension, because some people were very beautiful romantic songs, some people were very nice in, you know, some naughty songs. Then I met her in the studio. At the time, we were so involved to get the things right and everything, because the time factor and everything. So subsequently, we got involved in a project to teach thousands of children. In a project, I was asked to be part of it, to coach these children in Delhi. So immediately I said, would you be interested in coming them to teach these songs? These are all school children, so it'll be very nice. I'm involved, but I've composed something. But if you can, actually, somebody have to sing. In school, the local teachers were somebody who had been just given a job to teach, and some of them were not even trained musicians. I said, it'll be nice if you can teach the children. So there she arrived. And there I could see the passion with which the children, she was teaching, and all the children were surrounding her for autograph. And she, because everybody knew Kavita, Bollywood singer, hit songs, Hindi film. All the children were surrounding her, but so patiently she was talking to each and every child and giving an autograph and photograph, everything. So that everything started initially. I immediately said, this will be the best companion I can have to continue my music, because she's also into music. And also she can guide the children and help the children to not only, you know, become involved in music, because practically she's a top singer. So she can give some things which I cannot give. In the studio, I remember when I was recording, my children are also there. All of a sudden, in the recording booth, I was seeing Ambi sitting on her head and playing, all jumping and playing. All these things were happening.
You know, I was so much younger, so I could also physically play with them.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm in the recording booth and trying to record, and suddenly I see she's playing with my younger fellow, was just jumping, and he was very active. So the other two were a little calmer because he was youngest, being youngest, he was jumping, everything. She was in between all those things, she was playing with him and also singing. So I thought, what a beautiful combination it was. It's not like, no, I haven't seen right now, you know, I want to focus, you know, please, I'll see you later, not that kind of thing, you know, because usually some artist needs that focus and see that attention. Mm-hmm. They might have said, you know, look, I know I need to just record, after that I'll play with you. It was not like that. It was part of the whole thing. In between she sang, in between she played, it continued. I was sitting in the booth wondering what's happening. So it's all funny and beautiful.
How wonderful. Like, there were three men, and then there was Bindu, and you joined. So then, like, what was that like? Like, did it take, was it easier to bond with Bindu and then the boys? Or, and I'm just guessing, I don't know.
Well, you know, to a certain extent, I've grown up in a large family with siblings. So being in a large family was fine for me. But I must tell you that it was a huge jump for me. So I came with a lot of trepidation. I was very nervous because, you see, I was at the top of my career in Bombay. So for me, I had to leave my city. I had to leave all the, you know, my mother, my aunt, all people. I've been grown up as a bachelor, being pampered at home, eating all the things that I like when I come back from the recording, and not having to do a single bit of housework at home. Just sing and come back and just make the money and come back and sing and be yourself. So suddenly I was going to leave my city. I was going to be a, you know, mother to three kids. I had to be a wife, and I was not sure what kind of food they eat. All those kind of things. My family were worrying. They were saying, like, what have you let yourself in for? Like, I mean, are you going to be okay? But then, you know, I came and I started feeling very comfortable. As I told you, my children gave me a lot of love. You know, immediately after the marriage, I became Ma, you know, which is from Kavita auntie, I became Ma, which is a very generous thing from their side to have accepted me so much. And then he also just let me, like, every 4 days, if I had to go to Bombay to record a song, or I had to go and see my mother and my dogs in Bombay. And, you know, there was total freedom. If that freedom hadn't been given to me, I may have been a different person. But they gave me total freedom. Only thing that used to bother me was these children, because they've traveled with him, they had no sense of timing, you know. They would be last minute, they would get up for school. They would eat the breakfast in the car when they're going to school and somehow brush, wear their clothes and wear their jackets. And all this I have not seen. For me, if it's 7 o'clock school, I have got up at 5:30, done my practice. My mother said, off. Like the night before, I would polish my shoes white. Here, as they are going, they're doing everything. They're getting up 5 minutes before they leave. Tomorrow's an exam. Homework is not done at night. Just before going, they're also doing their homework. They're very brilliant kids, you know. They've come outstanding in their class. They would be in the top rung. Yeah. But I've never seen them doing any homework on time. Now, initially, after the 6 months of marriage, I said, I must straighten up this aspect. So I tried to straighten up. But I must tell you, it worked very bad against me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, happy that, you know, like, I'm just thinking, she's not as nice as I thought she is. She's making me do homework. So for about 6 months, I tried to discipline them, saying that, you know, they must get up before they go to school and brush their teeth properly, all those kind of things, like I had grown up. And he would say, just let them be, because they are zooming around with him for concerts. And I'd say, Ellis, they've got school for 4 days. How can they bunk and just come with us for concerts? And what will happen to their studies? He said, just leave them be. Their principal has said, I can take them anytime. Don't worry about these things. And they would come and they would come back. But the thing is, they would do their exam and still come on the top of the class. Then I realized these are very bright kids. And I decided, let them be. Everything worked for me. My bonding became better with them. Then I became like, when father says no to something, then they would come to mother and say, you know, there is a party. My friend is throwing a party. Can I go for the party? Father would say, no party. You have to do your music or whatever. He says, I don't believe in parties. No. Sleepovers, parties, nothing doing. They would come to me and then I would say, you have to ask your dad. But slowly, slowly things became gentler.
How sweet. And Kavita ji, Bindu also mentioned that you actually knew Vijiji. I mean, you were in the same college, was it?
We were not in the same college. She was in Elphinstone. I was in Xavier's.
Yes.
But on a few occasions we met because we had some common friends. And then, you know what happens? Because she was a fantastic singer. Once or twice I met her in Western Outdoor when we were doing something. There was a program called Amritwani, which used to have non-film songs, bhajans and those kind of spiritual songs. It was sponsored by the Mafatlans. So she also came to sing. I also came. So we shared this. So on quite a few occasions we met, and the strangest thing is that I attended their wedding, you know, and after my marriage, I saw their marriage album, and I was in that photograph where on stage with the reception. But after he got married to Vijay, or Vijay got married to him, after that, for 20 years, I didn't meet her. I was in LA. I went for concerts, but they never came to attend my concerts. And I also didn't know which city in US they were. I never met them. So the only time I met them was 4 years after Vijay passed away. She passed away in 1995 and I met him in 1999.
Yeah.
And you know, it was very, very, very strange, because when I look back, I just feel that I saw him as somebody else's husband in you know, in 1976 when we got married, though she was not my closest friend, I knew her, and I knew her as a fantastic singer, and I had met her, and she's such a beautiful, such a fine person, and a person who's so talented. And they had a happy marriage. But you know, one thing I tell him, God has been very kind, because in those 20 years, if I had seen you all together in my concert, or I had attended a concert where you two guys are all the time together, I would have always thought of you as somebody else's husband. I would not have been able to marry you, you know?
Yeah.
I said, I didn't meet him at all. So when I met him as like a stranger, as a widower, but a stranger, you know?
Yeah. In, you know, traditional gharanas, like Indian classical gharanas, there are certain strict rules and regulations. Ki pair chuna hai, and yeah, restrictions. And like, you can't basically question your teacher. Like, there is this, like, that's seen as respect, right? Like, from what we've gathered. So is that something that, you know, you wanted to follow? Or is that something that's there in the family?
In my generation, it was different. Because my father, when he was there, when he was talking to anybody or anything, we hardly used to come. Because my elder brother, Vaidyanathan, was elder to me. He was already playing before I started playing. My sisters were playing. For any discussion or anything, father is there, he being the head of the family and also the teacher. And we never did. Suddenly somebody ask him a question, we don't used to say, no, this is what it was. Never like that. So even today, if you go to some of the Guru Shishya outsiders, it is very strictly followed. If you are learning from outside Guru, if you go and if somebody asks Guru something, you cannot say, no, this is my opinion. This is never done. Ethically, they'll feel it's not right. In a family situation, sometimes because of the family relationship, we don't mind if suddenly Bindu says something or Ambi says something like that. So because I'm also,
and we've given them full independence. All the three children are fully independent. They do exactly, they make their own decisions about their careers. Sometimes we don't even know where they are going for a concert. Suddenly you say, will you come home for lunch tomorrow? They say, sorry, we're off for a concert here, or we're doing this. And suddenly I'll see a song on Facebook which they've recorded, which I don't even know about. So with all the three children, they have total independence. We have never put any restrictions. Neither have we said, please touch. His father's not said, touch my feet every morning. Those kind of things don't happen, you know. So they are very, very modern children. And I think we have allowed them to be modern. And he's not been a guru who says, touch my feet. You've learned everything from me. Touch my feet. No.
I never respected that. I'll never respect that. But at the same time, having said that, if people like, when they met Mani Jasraji or any other great artist, I expect them to, you know,
touch the feet of those artists
and give respect to them, because they have to give respect to the art and some of the greatest artists and legends. But I don't expect my children to come and do namaste. Like, even my own students, other students who are not my children, come to try to do namaskar and touch my feet. I said, please don't do this. You do your own God, whoever you believe, or there's a statue of Ganesha I have in my house. They said, you do pranam to Ganapati if that blessing is enough. A lot of my classmates used to be, you know, beaten in a cane and made to stand outside the class whole, you know, 2 hours into 1 hour.
I stood outside twice for 2 hours.
Yeah, all these things, so that kind of thing. But not because, you know, they were right or wrong. Because the behavior was not acceptable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought, oh, I'm saying something, teacher, who are you to question me? Why do you come here? That kind of...
So we can't expect that with this generation. It's crazy if you expect that from this generation.
Yeah.
It'll be very foolish of us, honestly.
So what we went through, we don't expect.
Even with my granddaughter, if there's something not okay, I'll have to tell her, you know, this is very good, but I think, you know, you can do better. Or this is, oh, wow, you know, but this. You know, you have to keep praising and getting things done by them. We cannot scold them openly and say negative things. They don't like it.
This generation, what has happened is like, anything you start, oh, it is amazing, it's awesome, it's beautiful, fantastic. This
and
is how they all start.
Come to the crux of the matter of what you actually want to tell them.
Even if it is not.
You're singing so beautiful, but you know, but can you just watch out on that note?
So everybody has a way to handle things, because everybody is intelligent, everybody is awesome.
But there is a change in generation, you know, like I've heard about artists who have, you know, Guru Seva in their Gurukula, staying there, and for many days they won't even be taught a note. They would be bringing wood from the thing, place, lighting the fire, cooking for their guru, and then they'll be listening to them as he's teaching somebody else. And suddenly one day guru will say, come and sit down and sing. I'll teach you. And that time with implicit obedience, they would learn. And then 10, 20 years later, you hear they are Pandit Bhimsen Joshi or they're a big artist. But that's the way they have learned music and not open their mouths in front of guru, not question. Supposing they say, oh, no, this is not the rag I want to learn today. My mood is not in this rag or I don't want to do this. There's no question. Whatever guru teaches at that point of time, they had to do it. Now, we cannot continue with the same, but the results have been amazing. That kind of obedience and devotion to guru has ended in great results. But this generation, for me to tell a child, oh, no, you have to do this. You have to do it 120 times. You have to do sarega mama gare, otherwise you won't go ahead. Doesn't work.
Thank you so much for your time. This is so much fun.
All the very best to you too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bread. I'll pick it over roti any day. Not over naan or my mom's parathas though, but a buttery croissant that's flaky and filled with a smattering of cheese is exactly what I need on some mornings. A bruschetta with salami and olives is the snack I prefer when I'm drinking wine, though I always have a packet of chips waiting as backup. We have such a wide range of breads available today that there are times when even I get confused, especially since there's no uniformity among bakers in town when it comes to the texture and taste that differentiates a baguette from sado. Listen on as HT Brunch columnist Veer Sanghvi makes life easier by giving us all a cheat sheet on the types of breads available.
So when you see people's Instagrams and you hear them bragging about all the breads they've baked and you see these pictures of golden fluffy bread or baked brown bread, do you understand what the hell is going on? Frankly, I don't. You know, I grew up in an era when if you went to the shops, all you got was Britannia bread, or if you lived in Delhi, all you got was modern bread. It was easy. Okay, the bread wasn't great, but at least going to buy it was easy. No longer, now that everybody is a baker and everybody's daughter has opened a bakery shop, there's just so many kinds of bread available that I don't know what the hell is going on. So what I've done this week is give you a guide. I've researched this because I didn't know it otherwise. Given you a guide to all the breads you will get in the market. Do you really know what a ciabatta is? Do you really know what French bread is? Is it the same as a baguette? I've done sourdough before because that's really confusing. But I think because we're getting so many breads, and not all of them, I have to say, regrettably, particularly authentic, many of them made by people who never tasted the real thing but found a recipe on the internet, it may help to know what breads are supposed to be like and what's available. So what you'll get this week is my cheat guide to bread. Read it, go to a baker shop, lecture people on how ciabatta is recent in origin, and they will think you know everything about bread, which is good because I don't.
Being a Delhi girl, historical monuments have always had a special place in my heart, especially since I spent so much time around them during my college days, be it Safdarjung's tomb or Humayun's tomb. Yes, we have a lot of those in Delhi. I don't know if it counts, but the Hauskas village fort and the lake was a favorite spot for our choir to practice in our second year. Of course, this is before it was filled with wedding shoots and guitar boys serenading their ladies. The list isn't complete without ice cream at India Gate. Also a place where I had a great embarrassing fall, not too long ago actually, some 5 years ago, when I was doing my other favorite thing at India Gate, playing with balloons. And today, a trip to Delhi isn't complete without a meal at Lavash by Sabi, which has a lovely view of the Qutub Minar. Perfect in the winter. Well, here's HT Branch columnist Rehana Munir's take on historical monuments.
It's like we're all living our life between lockdowns now, and public spaces have become those places where we expend all our pent-up energy and emotions, whenever we're allowed, that is. In the last year, I've had quite a lucky run with historical sites. Prime among them is this beautiful old church in Divar Island in Goa. It's the Lady of Piety Church, and it looks out onto the island, and it's just stunning. It reminds me so much of Bandra, where I grew up. and without any of Goa's commercial staples. Back in Bombay, the BMC, the municipal corporation, has opened up its headquarters. You know, it's a beautiful building that a lot of us who went to college in that part of town would admire from the outside. And finally now, it's open. You know, it's open for tours. And I was lucky enough to take one when the city was open in that way. As Suketu Mehta says in Maximum City in his book, Bombay is the land of the no. So when finally you get a yes from people in authority, you know, you really lap it up. And, you know, this beautiful indoor Saracenic architecture, it's opposite CST, formerly known as Victoria Terminus. And it's just a complete must do whenever one is allowed to. This spring in Delhi, I've gone up close and admired the Qutub Minar under lights and walked around the majestic Sundar Nursery, feeling so grateful at how well it's been preserved and restored and how welcoming its sprawling grounds are. In this week's column, I revisit my experiences with historical monuments. And I feel, you know, in these difficult times, they provide a sweeping view of history. They remind you that there's more than just these SOPs and these lockdown rules and all these various orders that we have been that we need to follow so things get better real soon. I hope we're all able to return to these uplifting spaces soon. Till then, you've got the column. Bye.
He's 29 and has worked with the likes of Pritam, done the score for shows like Gone Game, and even Aamir Khan's film Rubaru Roshni. Aditya N has definitely cracked the production aspect of Bollywood, and now he's making his own music with his alter ego Sots with the project called Meadows and Rust. A set of work that has a lot more of him than we've ever seen before. And man, is it worth a listen. As I await the release of his next song titled Leave Them Behind, here's a version of his first song, Lost. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Aditya from Meadows and Rust, and this is my song, Lost. Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.